We are looking at the incredible book of Titus, and we're calling it a practical to-do list for believers. And on the back, now again, the way to use this right here is if you have ever turned to the front page, okay, we're going to teach you how to do this. Look at it. Okay, everybody be looking at this. And here's how you get to the back. Go this way, okay? Because if you do it this way, it's not going to be in English. But if you do it this way, it's going to work. I apologize for that. Here's the list of what we talked about last week. Titus is a letter. It was written by Paul. It's a short letter. Titus was a go-and-getter, done kind of guy that Paul would send Titus to clean up messes. He did it numerous times, and Titus was one of these guys who would just go in and get the job done. And so Paul is sending Titus to the church there in Crete, and he's saying, look, there's a mess. There's all kinds of issues, and I want you to go in, and here's what I want you to look for. I want you to go first, find and establish good leadership. He didn't go in and say, hey, I want you to post a job opening and say, this are the requirements. He says, I want you to go look for people that are already living this way. Go look for church people, Christians, followers of Christ that are living this way, because this is what it looks like to be a Christian. These are the characteristics. And on the back of your list there, these are the ones we talked about. We talk about the 18 different characteristics that he mentioned. And again, except for the first one, if you are not married, this doesn't apply to you. If you are married, it does apply to you. But the rest of them are all applicable to everyone that considers themselves to be a Christian. There's no buy. There's no opting out. You can't say, well, you know what? I'm going to be devoted to my spouse, but I am not going to be self-controlled. It doesn't work like that. These are not, pick three and, choose your top three. No, these are characteristics of what it means to follow Christ. He says, look for these, because this is what it looks like. In very, very clear English terms, he lays it out. And we talked about this last week. And the big idea from last week that we're learning from this book is this. We need to live a life to be used by God. And what that looks like is this. Live a life to be used by God. So turn to somebody and tell them, are you living a life to be used by God? Right? Now it's important, as we're looking at this book and as we're looking at this list, we can't separate this from ourselves. There's a lot of people that maybe look at this list or read this book and they say, well, that's just for church leaders. But as we discovered last week, this wasn't about church leaders. This was about Christians. This was about church people. This was about the family of God coming together. This is what it looks like, and this is how we should be living. So Paul's mandate to Titus was, first, find and establish good leadership. And tonight we're going to look at the second part of that, and is this: find and establish good leadership so that they can be an example, they can teach truth, and they can correct those that need it. Look for people that are living the way that God called them to live, and use them to teach, correct, and lead others. Okay? So here's what Paul is getting at when he's talking to us as a church. You need to live this way so that you can be used this way. You need to live this out so God can use you to make a difference in his kingdom. That no one was ever called by God to hold down a pew as their spiritual gift. So this pew may fly away. My job is just to make sure this stays here. No. We're called to give. We're called to minister. And God has equipped you with incredible gifts, incredible abilities, incredible circumstances that you have been through that are just what somebody needs. But to be used by God, you've got to live the right way. And so he's saying, live the right way so that you can be used in the right way. Now, this goes two ways, because as a Christian, God wants to use you to minister, but God also wants you to be open to be ministered to. So as we look at this tonight, there's really two ways that we need to look at what we're going to tackle tonight is this. This is the way that I should live, and this is what I should look for in others. That as I minister, this is how I should live, but as people are ministering to me, these are the characteristics that I need to see in those who minister to me. So he's talking not to leadership, he's talking to everyone here, and he's saying, look, we're on both sides. And so the point that we're going to bring out tonight, the main idea of tonight is this: allow only qualified spiritual leaders to speak into your life. Okay? Turn and tell somebody that. Allow only qualified spiritual leaders to speak into your life. Now, this is what Paul was telling Titus, and Titus is saying, look, we need to get the qualified spiritual leaders recognized and empowered and ready to go so that they can minister to people that are also open and seeing those same qualities. So we need to give and we need to take. We need to live and we need to see and seek that as we seek wisdom for our own selves. Now, again, we understand this, that qualified is so important. You do not go to your car salesman for medical advice, do you? Let's make a little rattling in here when I, you know, take a deep breath here. So maybe you could hook me up to the, you know, the Ford or Toyota machine, find out what you can find. No, you don't do that, right? You want to go to someone who is qualified, right? Hey, you know what I'm talking about, right? When you go to a doctor, you want to go to a healthy doctor, don't you? You don't want to go to a doctor who's out there smoking behind the clinic, you know, and going in and then telling you how to live. It just doesn't work that way. You don't believe in what you're teaching. I had a doctor kind of like that. I went in and he said, look, you need to start exercising. You need to eat right. You need to do all this stuff, do this big list and everything. And I said, well, what do you do? And he goes, I don't do any of that. I'm like, well, what are you doing telling me to do that then? Well, because I'm a doctor. And he says, and I'm getting ready to retire, so I don't really care that much. So that's true. And he retired, and I got a new doctor that actually cared. But again, you want to go to someone that is qualified in those areas of our life that matter. And the same thing is with our spiritual life. We need to look for this, and we need to be this. We need to look for this in as we're seeking wisdom, but we also need to live this so that we can impart wisdom. So as we look at this, we're going to discover the three traits that we should both live and seek as we are looking for good, godly wisdom in our life. So we are living out these 18 qualities, and then we add these three more in how we live, but also who we look to minister. And this is what Paul is saying to them, is what Paul is saying to us. And again, so much truth, so much wisdom in this. Now, as we look at these qualities, it's setting us up for next week. You don't want to miss next week, because next week is interesting because he talks about all the demographics. So he goes, ladies, here's what you need to teach, and here's what you need to do. So you're living this. You have these qualities that make you teachable and be able to teach, and here's what you need to teach. Guys, same thing. Older guys. Younger women, not as young women, okay? There's no such thing as an older woman. It's just not as young. So that's next week, but he's setting us up for this. But let's look at these three qualities in our lives and what we want to look in others. A spiritual leader, this is the first one if you're taking notes, a spiritual leader must be submissive to authority. Submissive to authority, which is somewhat of a conflict, right? Because they're a leader. Well, great leaders are even better servers. That's what makes a great leader, is someone that can serve and submit. You don't want to go to somebody who thinks they are all that. A great leader and a great source of wisdom is somebody that is submissive to authority. Titus 1:9, Paul is writing, he says, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those that oppose it. For there are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. And what he's saying is especially those in church. He says there are people that are just going to say whatever they feel like. There is no restraint. There is no submission. There is nothing like that. And he says you need to look to someone who is submission to authority. Now, in the book of Titus, it is all about this. It mirrors in so many ways. So subordination through the book. Verse 1:1, Paul says, I'm a servant of Christ. 1:4, Titus lined up under the authority of Paul. In 1:6, it talked about children being in line or submissive to their parents' authority. And again, throughout the book, again and again, we see this model represented of great leadership is demonstrated by being submissive to someone or someone else. You understand this? And again, this is something that's important. If you're not accountable to somebody, that's a danger zone. That's a danger zone. Again, there is never a place in your life where you don't have to be accountable to someone. Not because you have a problem, because you don't want a problem, and because it's one of those things that make you a great minister and teacher. And by humbling ourselves, it means this, that if you can't be taught, you can't teach. And you were called to teach. So he's saying you've also got to learn to be taught. You got to submit yourself. Now, I do this in my own life. I have people that I am accountable to. Our great past superintendent, Brother Putnam, called me at various times throughout the year and asked me really tough questions. How's your life? How's your prayer life? How's your study? How's your marriage? How's things going on? What about this? What about that? And you know what I told him? I said, shut up, don't call me. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Because that's not being submissive to authority. No, I was grateful because you know why? Because that is scriptural. And I would say, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what I need help on. And you know what he would do? He would help. He would minister. He would make me a better person so that I could be a better teacher. And it only happened when I was willing to put this into practice. Make myself accountable. I've got five other ministers that are partners with mine that we hold each other accountable. I have another minister friend of mine that sees every single place that I go on the internet, on my computer, my iPad, or my iPhone. They have full access. Why would you ever do that? Do you have a problem? No, I don't want a problem. But it's also this. The principle of making myself accountable to someone means that I am able to help someone else be stronger. It's the principle. So for me to be a good teacher, I have got to put my place in to be taught. And the same is with you. Are you making yourself accountable to someone proactively? That's the key. Proactively. Not because the court mandates you to. Ahead of, because you're saying, look, God called me to minister, and one of the keys of minister is I must be submissive through authority. Because here's the thing, when we pull out and we think we're all that, we get stupid. This is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. Proverbs 18:1 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. My interpretation is this, when you pull away, you get dumb. Right? How many have ever seen that happen? Don't tell me what to do. I'm not going to listen. I've got it all figured out. I don't need to hear anything from anybody. We're different. I'm different. It's going to end different for me. And you're just watching your watches like you are a ticking time bomb because your IQ points are dropping fast. And it's scriptural. When we pull away from listening and being accountable to others, we get dumb. And God says, look, I don't want you to be dumb. I need you to be wise because I've called you to help impart wisdom to those around you. That's the first thing. So turn to somebody and tell them, you need to be submissive to authority. Who are you submitting yourself to? Okay. Second thing is this. Spiritual teachers must serve God with authenticity in teaching. Authenticity in teaching. If you're taking notes, this is the second one. Authenticity in teaching. Again, we need to look for this and we need to be this. Titus 1:11 says, they must be silenced because they are ruining whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach. And that for the sake of dishonest gain. We talked a little bit about that last week. You're teaching wrong things. You're not being authentic. You're leaving the scripture. You're teaching for your own benefit. Now, one of the things that I tell young ministers is this, is there is only one question you need to ask yourself when you step down from speaking. There is only one thing that matters. It's not, did people get up and hoop and holler? It's not, did, you know, how many people came to the altar? It's not, you know, was there a mighty move of God? None of that matters to a speaker. I mean, it's important, understand me, but that is not the deciding factor, okay? It's this. It's simply this. You ask the question, God, are you pleased? Did I say what I needed to say? Whether nobody responded or not. That's not it. That is not the judge. Because I've been in services where it's just all like, woo, 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 woo. And there was nothing there. And you might have been in some services where you could hear a pin drop. And my goodness, God was speaking and moving. And be careful how we judge what a good service is. Now, again, as you minister, because he's talking to you, as you minister, and God leads you to do what he's leading you to do, the only question that you need to ask is this: God, are you pleased? Did I say what I needed to say in the way that I needed to say it? Regardless of whether they said, oh yes, I have seen the light, and thou words has changed me, and I will be a different person because of your wisdom and ministry. Or if they look at you and slam the door and tell you to shut up and I never want to see you again. Because it happens both ways. And I've talked with many people who've come to my office and said, you know, I really felt God tell me to say this to someone, and I said it in love, and I said it in the right way, and just tried to sit down, and they just took it the entirely wrong way, and I just felt that I really did something wrong. I think I screwed up. It's like, no. Don't worry about that. Their response is not an indicator of your authenticity. Understand that. Your job is to simply be so close to God and so in touch with God when he says, I want you to say this in this way, that there is no doubt that I have obeyed what God has led me to say or do, and that whatever happens is happening, but that's not the judge. You got to be careful when we start teaching things because it's going to be what people like. There's a lot of things that I teach that if it was my choice, I would not want to teach it. And I'm honest enough that oftentimes before a message, I'll say that. Not my idea. I can think of a lot happier things to talk about. You know, go be nice to people. Love your neighbor. Smile more. Be happy. Celebrate. But sometimes we got to hit those hard things that God is saying, I'm speaking, and you just better get up there and say it. And I have learned that I am not responsible to you. I'm responsible to him. And as long as I'm responsible to him, then you know what? I will be responsible to you. But him first. And so therefore, that's why that God sometimes tells us, hey, go encourage somebody. But also there are times when you're going to say some tough things. And you know what? And those are tough. But again, authenticity to the word. Are you teaching what God is telling you to say? And again, everything we teach needs to be founded in God's word. Period. Period. If it's not, we don't mess with it. We don't mess with it. And that is what was happening in this church. Is they were dealing with some things that weren't in scriptures. They were dealing with all kinds of crazy stuff that just sound good and be interesting to talk about. And there's some topics that are, let me just say this, I'll get off on a rabbit trail a little bit. There are some topics that are very popular in the Christian world that are discussed and talked about that we will never talk about here because they are not biblically based. There's a lot of hypothetical, there's a lot of, you know, this could be and this could be, that I don't want to mess with. I want to stick with the word. There's enough truth in the word that we do not need to look anywhere else. That's all we need. That's all we need. We're just going to stay with God's word. We're just going to stick with what God said. We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. And as you minister, as God calls you and uses you, make sure your wisdom and word is anchored in God's word. And as you look for wisdom, make sure that the wisdom that is being imparted to you is anchored and based in God's word. Be very, very leery when someone starts telling you, well, I'm sure God understands, but not scriptural. But you be open when someone says, hey, let's look what God's word has to say about this. What does the scripture have to say about this matter? Let's pray about it. Let's study it out. Let's look at what God says about it. That's what you need to look for. That's what you need to live. So turn to somebody and tell them you need to be authentic in teaching. The last thing is that spiritual leaders are to live God-centered, a God-centered lifestyle. You need to look for this. and you need to be this. Titus 1:12 says, even one of their own prophets, it says, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. And here's the thing. Paul was using a very old quote from a prophet by the name of Epictetus. Plato and Aristotle recognized this guy in writing, and Paul took the quote and applied it to the church people. He says, yep, yeah, people in that church are just like they said. They're liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. Can you imagine that on their church website? Hey, come on, you know, church of liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. Now, here's the thing. The lovely thing about that is that we are a church of past, because we have found a God that changes. We have found a God that redeems. You know what? And we welcome people like that. He said, but it's not about staying there. It's about finding the change that God has for you. But here's the thing. We need to live this, and we need to watch for this. Titus chapter 2, Paul's writing. He says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. He's saying there is a difference that comes with a life devoted to Christ. It allows you to live differently. Live differently. Live powerfully. Powerfully. So as we are looking to apply it, make sure, again, as we are applying those principles to our life, that we are living a godly life. But also, as you look to wisdom, look for someone who is living it out. And man, we see this all the time. I just heard the other day, somebody's like getting marriage advice from somebody that had been divorced 4 times. Like, wait a second. That's not where you go for wisdom. Okay? You don't go get financial advice from someone who's been bankrupt 3 times, right? That's not where you go. Okay? Facebook is a place for absolutely no instruction whatsoever. And you have seen people spout as if they are like prophets from old. Here's what you ought to do. And give the stupidest advice ever. And the sad part is too often the response is, wow, thanks, that's great advice. And you're just going, no, no. Hey, you're breaking the principle. It's not going to work out. It's not going to work out. So Titus is mandated. He says, go find good people that get it right, that are living right, that have all those elements of what it means to be a Christian. But not only are they living right, but they have a heart that's able to be taught, that they have a love and a passion to teach the word correctly, and that also they're living it. It's not just on a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night. This is who they are. Because those are the people that can minister to others, and those are also the ones that can be ministered to. This is what we're looking for. This is what we are looking to be. 3 very important principles that we put this into practice. And in throughout the book, then he says, but here is what happens when that isn't true. Because here's the truth. In our culture, we live in a culture that has their hands up so often and says, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Don't instruct me. Don't insult me. Don't make me feel uncomfortable. Don't correct me. Even in love. I know. That's part of the next generation coming up. There's that hesitancy to listen to any wisdom. And here is the problem. And he talks about this. He says, when we live a life that is not submissive to authority, I don't have to submit to anybody. I don't have to put myself in authority. I don't have to listen to anybody. Who do they think they are? I know. When we live a life like that, when we stray away from the scripture, either intentionally, where we teach something that's not true, that it works better for us, or we just stray away from it and we do not learn it. That's why I love the fact that we're memorizing a chapter as a church, as part of it, because we need to be in God's word. It changes us. And we do not live this. This is not who we are, but this is a role that we put on when we're with others or just in those times where you know, we come to church and we say all the right things and act the right things, but we don't truly live this. Here is the result. He's talking, and Paul's writing this in 2 Timothy. So the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Meaning this, they're not going to take this. They're not going to listen to this. They're going to say no to what we're trying to do. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths or stories or stuff that is meaningless. And he's talking about the church. He's talking about the church that they say, I will find a place that best suits me. I have a hard time as a believer with people who say, I'm looking for a church that, and then they fill in all of the blanks. Because here's the thing, a relationship with God isn't about meeting your check boxes. And I've seen people come and go, not just here, but others, where they're saying, well, you know what? I felt uncomfortable there because of, or this didn't meet a need. I'm looking for a church that best fits me. Meaning this, that I am the pattern for which the church models itself after. Wait a second. You just missed the whole thing. It isn't about you. It's about him. It's about him. And when the church and your relationship with God is all about, what am I getting out of it? I'm just not getting fed. I'm just not receiving. I'm just not getting what I need to from that place. I'm just not getting. Wait a second. Who is the source there? Do you know that you were not called to receive? What is the Christian life? You were called not to get, but to what? Give, to serve. To serve, to work, you're part of God's kingdom. It's not about you just getting. It's about you giving. And as a result, God provides, God does everything that you need. But we've lost the true perspective of what it means to serve God. Now, I'm thankful for God's blessings. Thank you, God. I never want to down that. I never want to listen to that. I thank God for what he is giving me. But understand, it is not about God just giving me what I want. It's about me doing what God wants me to do. That's why when we talk about prayer, you need to be careful if your prayer lists are only about you. What are you praying about that doesn't affect or benefit you? Are you praying right? Are you praying bigger than you? Are you praying for things that aren't part of your little personal world? Because some of us, many of us, is like, Lord, fix this about me, fix this, you know, situation. You know, I'm struggling with this, and get this person out of my life and bring this person into my life. And here's all my list, you know, it's like a Santa Claus list. Here's what I want. And when I'm done with my list, I say amen. And then I look at my clock and then I wonder why you're not answering right away. We've missed it. You were called to be a minister. You were called to serve. And Paul is telling us, hey, this is how you need to live. Set yourself up to become what God called you to become. Here's the qualifications. Here's what you need to focus on. Because you got a purpose. And this is what God is looking for in you. And when you do, you need these other qualities so that you can minister and that others can minister to you. You look for it and you live it out. You'll grow, you'll become a better minister, and you will get the ministry and the help and the direction that you need. Such beautiful. Beautiful harmony and balance in this. So great. And so that is what a church looks like. We live out these qualities. We submit to each other. Not prideful, not arrogant, but we're there to serve others. And as a result, we are served by others. And there's this wonderful presence of God in peace because he remains center. He remains center. And that is where we find exactly what we need. And that is the kind of place where lives can be changed. That's the kind of place where people come in and say, this feels different. this feels different. That I come in here and I feel something that makes me emotional and I've never felt that before. That I come in here and my guard drops because the presence of God is just so welcomed and celebrated here. It's not about anybody. It's about the one that matters. It's all about him. And when that happens, it just opens everything up and God's power becomes front and center. Even when they walk through the doors, it's, I feel something different here. There's something going on here. And it's nobody I can point to because I know you're all messed up. He's all messed up. We're all messed up. So who are we pointing to? The only one that isn't. It's all about him and what he can do. And that's how the church should work. And Paul is saying, there's a church in Crete. It's not happening. It's not happening. So Titus, here's what we need to do. And as we look in our own church, here's what we're saying. Hey, we can still get better. Hey, there's some still areas we need to work on. So here, this is what we need to do. This is where we need to be. Now, next week, you don't want to miss because we're going to talk about, now that we've done these things, what are you responsible to teach? So cool. I love this book. This is one of my favorite books. And again, it's just hidden. It's only about 1,000 words. We said it was like a 2-page letter. It's short. It's to the point, but it just punches hard, doesn't it? It just hits hard.